Today is December 2nd, first Sabbath day of the month. We had Sabbath Eve last night, and 2023, by the way. And we're in the book of Acts, still in chapter 10. Hopefully we'll get done with chapter 10 today. And so if you have your Bibles handy, please go to Acts chapter 10, verse 43. No, wait, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit so we can get the context as we come into verse 43. So I'm going to read verses 40 to 43, and then I'm going to share whatever the Lord gave me here. I got some SOP on, well, I don't know if I do, on this verse 43. Yeah, I got a bunch of statements from the prophets, biblical prophets, in regards to all that. Maybe I'll share that. Amen. Okay, so, oh, thanks, Joe. Posting the verses. So verses 40 to 43, it says, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly, which gives us the context. It's talking about Jesus. And it says, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. You know, a lot of people used to, I remember people getting all up in my face about this. Well, maybe just the thought of them getting in my face about this over the years, especially atheists. And praise God, we've had four, I want to say. I know for a fact three atheists have joined our number. Because we don't, peculiar, if you will, like the Bible says. We don't do church like everybody else does. We don't do churchianity. And we certainly don't do preachertainment. So, because that's what all the other churches are doing. But I don't know how many times even the thought comes to mind that someone's going to say this or someone has actually stated this. Well, if Jesus really was arisen, why didn't He show up to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the people that didn't believe? Well, because He didn't believe. It's just that simple. And so it's just like the people that only heard thunder when the Father spoke to Jesus in front of everybody that day. But the people that did believe in Jesus actually heard the Father's voice saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Everybody else just heard thunder. And so Jesus knew it would be a big old waste of time to even talk to the non-believers, because they're going to figure out a way in their minds to change the absolute truth He presents before them into a lie or a coincidence or whatever the case may be, because a lot of people miss this fact. If they're not believing in Jesus, then they are worshiping Satan or obeying Satan, because the word obey or worship is the same thing. It's synonymous. And so why would Jesus go and share the fact that He arose from the dead to people that worship Satan? Because they're not going to believe it. And even if for a moment they did believe it, since they're so connected to Satan, He has absolute permission to give them a lie that'll make them turn it around in their mind anyway. So Jesus knew it was a waste of time to talk to the captives of Satan. See, a lot of people miss that point. Because, I think that, it's just like the people that were wagging their heads when, you know, underneath the cross, say, oh, if He gets off the cross, we'll believe in Him, right? No, they wouldn't, because they had absolute faith in Satan. That's all they were doing, is they were worshiping and obeying everything Satan told them to worship. Because He, like it said in the book of Isaiah, He is like the Most High in their minds. And so Jesus knew if He came off the cross, it would, of course, destroy salvation for everybody, because He had to die for us. And number two, all those people would be open to Satan fabricating some kind of a way to make them think that what Jesus did when He came off the cross was a trick, or it was like a week or two later, says, you know, it probably was just a daydream. Maybe I was just seeing it. In other words, Satan has that much permission. And that'll be overwhelmingly obvious at Plague One, when the Holy Spirit leaves the planet, where, you know, even the people that were on our side to some extent, like in politics and stuff like that, passing crazy laws and stuff like that, they'll be able to run rampant. But still, that doesn't matter, because we, if we're in that number, Yeah, it won't affect us in the slightest because we're not concerned with what they're doing. We're concerned with where we're headed, and we're on our way home. And so, yeah, amen. Thanks, Brother Anthony. Because Satan said in Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And he is. So many people, well, not the real definition of it, but it's a counterfeit version. It's kind of like the seal of God and the mark of the beast. Because the word seal or mark is synonymous. And so the seal of Satan or the seal of God are similar. They're both about a Sabbath. They're both specifically about a day that the God that made that particular Sabbath requires worship on. And Satan picked Sunday because the Lord already picked the seventh day Sabbath. And so he picked Sunday, the day of the sun, because he, you know, Satan's always been lying to people from the east. You know, they worship the sun that rises in the east, the pagans of old and all that, and that's where you get Baal from and all that. And that's why when Jesus returns, he comes out of the eastern sky, which means he destroys his realm, his kingdom, his reign. And so, thanks, Brother Alvin. Yeah. You can change your name from anonymous to any name you want. Click the settings icon, or it says customize on the PC, but I don't know how to do it on Android. I never came into the text chat using my phone. And so thanks, bro. All right, so let's go on. It says, where are we at here? Not all the people, yeah. Not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick, you know, the alive and the dead. And verse 43 says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Hold on, let me get this mouse where it belongs. Got it on the wrong monitor. And I got a lot of, please don't text me until after study or something like that, unless it's an emergency. Thank you. All right, because it grays out the whole screen and all that stuff. But all right, so verse 43 again, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. All the prophets did witness that whosoever trusted in him, Jesus would forgive their sins, right? And I'm going to put a few verses in the room here, and I'm just going to read them, because I'm going to put in two at a time, see how it works, because just to give you an idea how amazing, all these statements from these prophets of old are confirmed, fulfilled in Acts chapter 10, verse 43 here. So it's a gigantic pile of prophetic whispers. But the it's taken a while. And again, I apologize. I'm going to try and, okay, good. Now it's up in the room. I'm going to try and figure out a way this week to use this new server URL. No, it doesn't have a URL. Yeah, the IP on it to push the streams through. I'm going to try it on POGM first and alone. I know it'll probably work on Twitch, no problem, but I just assume leave at least one of them on the old server just in case this new one doesn't work out. But because it's just getting annoying where people are falling out of the room. And so anyway, Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Again, that's Isaiah 53, and Isaiah 53 is illegal to be shared on the streets of Jerusalem to this day. A friend in the ministry many, many years ago, probably a couple decades ago, contacted me and said he almost ended up in jail because he was reading Isaiah 53 out loud on the street, because that one chapter overwhelmingly proves Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That chapter is just one prophecy after another that they all know were fulfilled 2,000 years ago. And so they don't want people saying it on the street because they got to keep the people hornswoggled. All right, so chapter, okay, now this next one here is Jeremiah, as you see. It says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, because the neighbor already knows, right? In other words, you don't have to teach this. These people, it's like, yeah, we know that kind of a thing, right? So he shall teach no more every neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Okay? And then I got a couple more here. Again, this stuff was written thousands of years ago. And the Jews just don't want to hear it. Okay, let's see how long it takes coming in the room this time. Oh, it came up a little quicker. All right, so verse Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make it an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's an in-depth. I got a page on the website all about those 70 weeks, and so we all know what it means in prophetically speaking, what Christ did for us on Calvary. And so Micah chapter 7, verse 18 says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And by the way, iniquity is known sin. Okay, hence the reason for 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 was written for Christians that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because you know you're going to sin even after you find him, because, or, you know, the Lord will eventually reveal to you, even if you don't know you're in sin, because that's just sin. If you don't know you're in sin, he's not going to hold it against you because he winks at our times of ignorance. But then when he reveals it to you, and you know he's revealing it, you can't lie and claim that he's not revealing it, because he reads your heart. And so, but yeah, known sin is iniquity, and so he pardoneth that. And it says, so who is a God like unto thee, pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. And then the last two I'm going to share from Zechariah and Malachi. Okay, let me put those in the room here. Okay. Did it go. Let's see. Let me try hitting. Did it go? Oh, yeah, it did go. Okay. Very confusing sometimes, this chat room. But it's all we got at this point. Ever since they dumped Flash, I had to build a hybrid system. Big-time hybrid. Audio in one area, video stream in another, and a text chat on another. Very annoying. All right, so Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So you can wash yourselves. Where's that fountain? Have you ever heard the word baptism before? Okay, sorry. But yeah, we have. So, okay, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And then, of course, Christ, you know, the truth, the living waters, all that stuff. It's amazing prophetic symbolism. Very, very beautiful. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Hence the reason, like, you know, that's a prophetic statement in regards to the people in heaven as well. Where a child is 100 years old in heaven, it's going to take that long to get to a point in heaven to where we're actually understanding Scripture pretty good now. 100 years, right? And I'm thinking, and I can't back this up with Scripture, but I can kind of back it up if you think about what Sister White said in regards to how the Lord wrote the Scriptures. He had men write it, and he had men write Scripture using man's language. Because the Father knows if he would have used the heavenly language, which I'm assuming, maybe, I don't know, I could be wrong, could be Aramaic. Isn't Aramaic what Adam and Eve spoke? So anyway, it's from what I understand. But even then, that's still man's language. And so I would think it's not going to be Aramaic now that I have to strike that. But it'll be a heavenly language, you know, from the Father. And it'll be understood. It'll take us 100 years to go into the Scriptures and see how we misunderstood certain areas. Even though you can still get very deep and get a ton of truth out of the Scriptures the way it is now, because he is a God. He knows how to write things using mankind to the point we'll get this. I mean, look at the way the prophecies are written and how they're being fulfilled to the letter. But still, there's going to be stuff in the Bible that we're going to be, and this excites me because I love study. I love every morning I'm in the scriptures and I'm studying and getting as much as I can out of them. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, the thought just came to mind now. Some of you are having issues with focusing when you're studying and you can't understand this. You can't understand. You need to stop watching YouTube or you need to stop watching TV or whatever you're doing. Any kind of fiction, any kind of garbage that's out there. Movies and stuff like that, you know, documentaries, that's one thing. You're just being educated, so that's not going to really fog your brain unless you're reading, watching documentaries where they're trying to insist, you know, teach people that the planet is billions of years old or something. Yeah, no, that's not a documentary. That's just Satan's, you know, lectern, if you will, his pulpit. But yeah, you get rid of that stuff and you no longer, I mean, like case in point with Elisha or Elisha, however you want to pronounce it, when he was approached by Jehoshaphat, and they had those vulgar people all standing around, and they're asking, what is it the Lord would have us do? Well, before Elisha went into prayer, he said, send me a minstrel. Why? Because all the crud that they threw into his brain, he didn't want that in there. He wanted it blown out so he can better hear the voice of the Lord, because he got, you know, I mean, they just took advantage of the fact that he had ears that worked and came up and did what they did. And maybe they could have been doing things vulgar, too. I mean, look what the homosexuals do in their parades. I mean, how ridiculously vulgar is that? Do heterosexuals do that? No. But they seem to think it's perfectly okay for them to do it. And then the parents out there, they're going to be held accountable for bringing their children to such things as that. They are going to be so held accountable for that. But they don't believe that. They will believe it, though. You know, in the plagues, during the plagues, as well as at the end of the 1,000 years, they'll have no choice. They'll know for a fact where they messed up, and they're going to be crying in abject horror how they want to be forgiven and make it into heaven. But now it's too late, you know, because all the truth that was presented was blown off. And so, but, okay, let's see if we can go to, let me get some water here. I just can't wait. Today is Testimony Sabbath. Amen and amen to that. Okay, so, all right, now verse, did I read? Oh, yeah, I did, the calves in the stall thing. So, yeah, we do. Because I just think that's amazing that we'll continue to study the scriptures throughout all eternity. Because we're going to have a better way of understanding it. And to me, it's like the science of Christianity, because there is a science. I mean, God created it. And so the science goes much deeper than just like what we would call technology, because you look at biology, you know, that's technology in a soft format, you know, like a soft machine in your chest, which biology calls a heart. It's a machine, but it's made by a God that doesn't need nuts and bolts, right angles, stuff like that. And so it's pretty neat. All right, so let's go to verse 44, and it says, while Peter yet spake, while Peter yet spake these words. Now, keep in mind, Cornelius and his friends are all, you know, pagan heathens and, you know, dogs according to the Jews, right? And so while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You know, and this is proof. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. You know, back in verse 15, when he was having a vision, I think it's verse 15. Let me go up here. Yeah, because Peter says, not so, you know, because, well, let me go to verse 13. It says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. You know, because that sheet comes down three times, and it's coming down three times because there's three unclean men about to knock on his door. And so the Lord says to, you know, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Kill, of course, symbolically speaking, you know, the old man dies and you're born again. Yeah, Peter's going to preach and teach to them where they're going to eat the truth, like Jeremiah said, I found thy words, I did eat them. And then verse 14 says, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And then the Lord responds by saying in verse 15, and the voice spake unto him, saying the second time, what God hath cleansed, that cow, that call thou, that call not thou common. Yeah, this old English kind of stuff kind of throws me for a loop sometimes too. So, again, so while Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And the Jews, by the way, were infamous for their awful treatments of the Gentiles. And, you know, instead of being a light to them for the gospel, they shunned them and shut out the light. Here we see the Father turning it all around. And then the next verse, what I'm going to read here, shows how some of the Jews were amazed at this loving act of God. They truly thought that they were going, that they were doing God's will by shunning the Gentiles. Because it says in verse 45, and they of the circumcision, you know, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because he didn't come alone, as we know, right? So as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it was necessary for them to see that, because just hearing Peter talk about it wasn't going to be enough. It's going to be nice to have a bunch of witnesses to back his play when he goes forth to declare the truth as it was declared in front of everybody in Cornelius' living room that day, right? And so the converted Jews could not understand this loving act of God, because they always thought that it was acceptable to treat the Gentiles as lesser people, as well as declaring only Israel worthy to be blessed. See, that's a twist on truth, though, because Israel is the only one that's worthy to be blessed, but not the way they defined Israel. Israel, scripturally speaking, has nothing to do with flesh and bones, as Paul mentions more than once in the scriptures later on. It has to do with who trust and obey God the Father and accept His Son as Lord and Savior, so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. That way, all three persons of the Godhead gets involved in their lives. But if they're shunning any portion of the Godhead, in their case, the Jews hated Christ with a passion. And so, yeah, you know, and just like the people today, Satan doesn't care. Like I was saying the other day. Like maybe even last night, you know, Satan doesn't care if Christians call Jesus Lord, and he doesn't care if Jews declare you got to keep the Ten Commandments. What scares him is when the Christians also keep the Ten Commandments. And so this is why even today, because Jesus has had 2,000 years to overwhelmingly declare and prove himself to be, you know, God on earth when he was walking among us, and God in heaven now as he's ministering unto us. And being our advocate there in the Most Holy. But the thing is with Satan, he knows it's a done deal. That's why he's going to show up and act like he's Jesus in the coming days to try to hornswoggle the last few that he has in the last few billion rather that he has control over. What really saddens my heart is there are people out there that used to be SDAs, and of course they leave the SDA church because it's so corrupt. But as they leave the SDA church, before they left, Seventh-day Adventism has further infected their minds to the thought where they think, number one, it's okay to leave the church, number two, which is right, they should leave because it's an apostasy, but they took some of the garbage with them, and that is their Trinity teaching. And all these people out there that are calling themselves the Oneness Movement or something, or Smyrna or whatever, where they claim Jesus Christ, now they finally say Jesus Christ is a God. They gave up. They finally figured out, says, okay, yeah, the overwhelming studies that were revealed to them prove that they were in error, but they still won't acknowledge the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead. And so that's where Satan likes to hang out, because if they won't deny Christ, at least deny the Holy Spirit. That way all three persons of the Godhead have no permission to be in their lives, and so Satan does. If he can just get at one of them, that's all he's concerned with. And so that's why you see what you see going on with these people that declare the Holy Spirit is just a thought process between the Father and the Son. Or just the Father, for that matter. But the thing here is they are literally, overwhelmingly, concrete evidence to prove on the Vatican website that their theology about the Godhead is an exact duplicate of the Vatican's Trinity. And so Satan got them. And they think they've avoided Satan. You know, that reminds me of the Baptists. When I left the Catholic Church, I started hanging out with a bunch of Baptists. But I actually went to a church and became a member, but it wasn't Baptist. It had Baptist theology 99.9%, but the preacher there would not teach once saved, always saved. You know, because it was pretty obvious that was bogus. You know, I mean, there's more than 2 dozen verses in the Bible that I found just off the, you know, rather quickly. Back then, and I was a Sunday keeper back then, that they were wrong. But the thing is the Baptists claim that they have always avoided Catholicism and paganism in every way, shape, or form. And I even had a preacher come up to me one time that I was doing work for. I was doing networking and programming for him because he had this big old ministry and all that. And he was trying to convince me that the once saved, always saved was legit. And then to prove that, he's, you know, he said they had this thing called Romans Road. And it was a little pamphlet that showed how they avoided Catholicism all along. And I was still a Sunday keeper, so I hadn't done the studies yet. But later on, I went over that Romans Road thing, and I saw, wow, they actually think they've avoided Roman Catholicism when they embraced it in everything from Sunday keeping to to Christmas to Easter. Even now, think about that. The SDAs do Christmas and Easter too. They're pagan holidays. They are not sanctioned of God. They're what Deuteronomy warns not to do. You know, because they're worshiping false gods is what they're doing. It's literally demon worship, and they don't care. Because the rest of the world's doing it, it brings in the money. You know, if you do Christmas and Easter in these churches, or Xmas and Easter, however you want to call it, you know, it'll bring in the money, especially the midnight mass. I've even heard some talking about that. And that's Catholicism. You know, the Catholic Church started the midnight mass because midnight to midnight is how their date changes. That's Roman time. Biblical time is sundown to sundown. And if you want proof, just go to Genesis and do a real short study. It don't take long, you know, to go to creation week. And every time the Lord created a new day, what happened? The dark part of the day came first. And so, yeah, very easy to see, sundown to sundown. And so, but here we see the Lord doing exactly as he promised he would do in Peter's earlier vision in regards to how, you know, kill and eat. You know, they're going to be killed spiritually to the point, you know, out of the paganism, the spiritual paganism, and then be quickened by the truth. And we just lost the streams. Well, at least we lost my stream. I don't know about the other ones. I know WTPR is going to be solid as a rock. No problem there. But, okay, it's back. All right, so anyway, let's go to verse 46. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay. Oh, Twitch is falling out now, too. All right, it'll come back. It usually does. So... okay, verse 46 says, all right, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now, this is what I like to call the Gentile Pentecost. And you can see this confirmed in Acts chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, which we'll get in soon because that's the next chapter we're headed for anyway, right? Because we're in 10 and we're just about, yeah, we're going to close out 10 this week, so... I'm not going to go over much because I don't have, it's just more or less basic theology from this point forward. From, even to even. Thanks, Brother Gilbert. Brother Gilbert, you know, Leviticus 23:32, from even to even. So, all right. Going on. And so they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter. And by the way, this tongues was a true manifestation of the gift. This is not the gibberish we see today in the Pentecostal church. You know, they actually did a video where they have a bunch of guys like Copeland and Dollar. Yeah, that's the guy's name, Creflo Dollar. He worships the dollar, too. He dances on it. In fact, I got him on the screen. All the donations from the church that day were all put on the steps of the pulpit. And he's running around dancing on it. And, it's just demonic. And... but the tongues movement of the Pentecostal church, which is now Roman Catholic, by the way, thousands of Pentecostal pastors joined Kenneth Copeland one day about 3 years ago, and they did this on camera, and then they had Pope Francis on camera on a big widescreen TV right above Kenneth Copeland, where they declared that the protest of the Great Reformation was over. It was done. Because they said, and this is how they figured, this is how blind Christians in these churches are. They picked one point of the protest, you know, the Great Reformation, the 96 thesis that Martin Luther put on the door. They picked one item and said, we are in agreement here. And so now the protest is over. All the Pentecostals declared, the pastors declared, In a big unison with clapping and all speaking in quote-unquote tongues, because it was just all gibberish, that they are no longer protesting. They are all Roman Catholic. And these are all the pastors of that movement, of the Pentecostal movement, right? Problem is, there's still 95, you know, points on the thesis that they ignored. But again, the people in the church don't even know what the 96 thesis is. They don't know that what Martin Luther nailed to that door that day. And so, but I got a page on the website all about it. It's remnagod.org/tongues.htm. And like all my pages are usually the end result of trying to help someone see the truth. Brother in the faith many years ago, very clear, him and I were tight for years. And, but he spoke in tongues, I found out. And I tried to tell him. He says, oh, no, it's a heavenly language. It's not the language of the Pentecostals the way they do with their gibberish. And I says, so it's a heavenly language. No one understands it. He goes, yeah, nobody understands it, just me. I says, well, show me that in the Bible. It's not in there. And he couldn't show me, and he got all upset and left the church. And so I did a study for him, and I put it on the site. It's the tongues page. And because it's overwhelmingly obvious what the Bible says about tongues. And we had perfect examples. I even had a witness one time tell me from a preacher that was in Africa, where they speak Swahili. And the preacher was up there preaching the truth as we present it. And I don't believe it was a preacher that was associated with us. Maybe he was. I don't know. I just know the person that was associated with us was there and then told me what happened. And he said that the preacher was up there, and he was speaking in English, and they had a translator standing next to him that would echo in Swahili. And there was, you know, a few hundred people from that area sitting there. And it was a beautiful day out, you know. Well, it's always beautiful in Africa, you know. I guess it gets a little hot at times, but hey, it's, you know, better than most places. And so one of the people in the crowd, in the congregation, stepped up and walked up to the translator and told him to stop. Because the preacher was speaking better Swahili than the translator was. But yet the preacher was only speaking English. The Lord was translating into the ears of everyone sitting there, perfect Swahili, where they can understand every word he said. And it just amazed. Could you imagine being there when that would happen? Well, you're going to have it happen soon. You know, some of us are going to be, you know, witnessing these kind of things. And because when the latter rain falls, the Holy Spirit falls on us 10 times more than it did on the apostles on Pentecost. And they spoke in tongues too, but they didn't, you know, the tongues, it's that other tongues, which means languages. When these guys get up there, you know, going, you know, I don't know, saying dibbity-doo-dah or something like that, all these weird words which have no meaning whatsoever, and then claim, like someone will actually claim and step up and say, this is what he said. That's rare, though. Usually they won't have anybody come up and translate for them, even though the Bible says you have to have someone translate. If you don't, nobody speaks. And if you have somebody translate, only 1 to 3 people at the most speak. And that's, but you go into these Pentecostal churches, 100% of them, including the pastor on the pulpit, they're all speaking in what they call tongues. And again, I got a page on the site all about that for those that need to help someone that may be in error here. So, but then verse 47 says, this is nice too when you think about this as well, because I recall how this happened to me before, and my wife, before we got baptized, and then we eventually did get full immersion baptism, okay? And then we did it again because we felt weird about the church that it was a Sunday keeping church. And so we got baptized again by a preacher that, was a Sabbath keeper. So that was years ago. So anyway, it says, I'm going to read verse 47 and 8. And it says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, they wanted him to hang out and talk to them because who wouldn't? You know, you're fresh Christians. The Holy Spirit's upon you. You want to learn. You want to know more and more and more and more. And so they actually received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. Most people get it as they're baptized. But in their case and in my case and in Fran's case and probably a bunch of your cases too, Because some of you, we get you baptized because all of a sudden Holy Spirit's on you and you just got to get baptized. And the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. And so praise God for that. And I think it's kind of neat that when we have our camp meetings, that especially what happened last time, I had no clue anybody was getting baptized. No one told me. I thought maybe there's a possibility because I knew quite a few had already taken the tests, if you will, because we live so far apart from each other with an online church as we do, that we have this study that you have to do before we'll baptize you, because it's not like I can just stop over every now and then and say, hey, how's things going? Because you might be 10,000 miles away. And so the study that we have is it prepares you to understand exactly the truth as we understand it, so that we're not making any mistakes when we put you under the water. Because I'm gonna get, I don't want to get in trouble. You know, we got to do this in the biblical manner. And if anybody comes up to a camp meeting that hasn't done it and says, oh, I promise I'll do the studies after you baptize me, not happening. That's not happening. That happened once before and only once. The Lord convicted me on that. That man not only refused to do the studies, he attacked this ministry. And so this, yeah, we don't play that game anymore. And so, yeah, we live and learn, you know, like any church or any parent, you know, as you're growing up with the children, we live and learn. And so, but yeah, there was a stipulation and it's on the website. There's a, you know, like the click on the, like, do you want to become a Seventh-day Remnant? And you click it and it brings you to the study page. And you go, oh, thank you. Brother Anthony just put it in the room there. And, for those of you that are curious, let me go to that, page real quick here. So I'm going to show you something in the stream. Alright. Okay. I personally prefer everybody to do, anybody that's going to be baptized by me anyway, all 30, what is it? Well, let me go to that page real quick here so I can show it in the room for everybody here. As long as we can keep this stream up, we don't know how long this is going to last. Okay. Alright. So those of you who are on the actual video streams, Alvin has one. I just noticed on the top, you click it, because I put this link up there quite a while ago. You click that, it'll bring you to, he's much better at making web pages than I am. And so he's got the same thing here, and he's got it really prettied up, and he's got it in all different languages. All the studies are right there. Let me see where it gets at. And there's a reason some are yellow and some aren't. I'll explain that in a moment. Okay, and then you got to read this thing before, like, at least if you want me to baptize you, you got to read that. It's just a quick study that's not going to be, I think it was just 33 of these. Yep, 33. And, but the reason for the yellow, I explained it on my page. It says the studies highlighted below in yellow must be completed before baptism is done or membership is considered, with the promise of completing the rest. And then click here to, you know, to request baptism. And I think, Seventh-day Remnant baptism form is crashed. So I'll have to fix that. But, I'll just send it to the main page. But that's an old form. I used to use, that one. It crashed years ago. I completely forgot about me having that link there. So I'll have to fix that. Or you just contact the ministry. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to send people to my contact us page. But then I also note, read Nehemiah 13:15-21, because buying anything on Sabbath day is considered sin. This includes paying someone to help you travel on the Sabbath day to get baptized. You know, don't be coming with an Uber, okay? Right, is what I meant, or a taxi cab or something like that. The yellow ones, like I said, these are absolute necessities if you want to get baptized with a promise in writing, if you will, to do the rest. But in my case, if you want me to baptize you, you got to do all 33. I don't, because I've had people promise and then never do it. And so I don't want anybody to be tempted not to do it. And so, but that's just me. And then you can click, like when you get the studies, you click here. And let's see if that works. Oh, yeah, it does. It'll actually send an email. I'm not going to show you the email address on a stream, of course, but it'll pop open your email software that you use, because I just built a little mini URL on there that tells your computer to turn on your email software. But most email software is going to say, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah, just go ahead and do it. And it'll pop it up like you're getting ready to send somebody an email. Your email address will all be in there. And then Eli's email address will be in there. And then you just fill out. You just send them an email. You just make a couple of statements like, please or you copy and paste your baptism form in there, and it'll, and then Eli takes a look at it, or some others. And there's others down here in different languages, but like I said, this page, the way Brother Alvin did it, is so much better. That is pretty. Okay. And there's a lot more languages involved. Let me just see what Tagalog looks like here, because it's a pretty language. Isn't that neat? The way the words just make absolutely no sense. That's tongues. Okay. You know, but it's the tongues that's understood. I'm surprised you ain't got it in Arabic. That's a real pretty language, the way it's written. Like Jewish, like the way the Israelites write Jewish language. So anyway, hope and pray that you were blessed. I'm going to, you know, I don't believe this. I'm going to have to, it seems every time, man, I'm just going to, hold on, I got to jump on a different server here. I don't know if you can hear the echo, but I certainly can. I got to go over here. Okay. And it's a 9-second echo, so it's, I'm going to have to turn it all the way. See, the problem with this is every time the stream fails, it turns itself back on, of course. And when it turns itself back on, it turns the mic, it turns the speaker on my server. And then I hear it. And it's, oh. So yeah, hopefully we'll get that fixed this week. I'm not going to be streaming off the old internet. And then if I have to, I'll get a new, I'll put my email server someplace else off site. And I'll get totally out of the ISP that I have now. Totally out. So, all right. So let's, you got some music coming. And then we'll go from there. So, yeah, testimony service. Please stick around. And we got a major announcement at the end that you got to hear. So praise God. I'm going to drop the mic. See you in a bit.